Good to see everyone back this afternoon as we continue serving the Lord and worshiping Him on His day. As we've announced, I want to spend a few moments this afternoon talking about the role of the family in the local church. I preface this sermon by reminding everyone and reminding you that I am well aware of the fact that Christianity is an individual religion. If you'd look at Romans chapter 14, be turning there. We'll look at a couple verses in just a moment. I know there was a time when God dealt with mankind through the heads of the families. That'd be the patriarchal age, when the fathers, the heads of the families, were responsible for their households. We know Job offered up sacrifices on behalf of his children. And we know that God spoke through the patriarchs like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We know then that God dealt with mankind through a nation. That is, Israel had the law of Moses. And again, your lineage was important. Your connection with God was seen through your lineage and your family. And again, family was important. Well, on this side of the cross, God extends His mercy through a new and better covenant, and it is one in which each of us as individuals get to deal directly with God. In Romans chapter 14, verses 11 and 12, we read, "For it is written, As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us shall give an account of himself to God." 2 Corinthians 5 and at verse 10 teaches the same truth as well. So we know that Christianity is an individual religion. God doesn't have any grandchildren. There is no getting to heaven on the family plan or riding in on the coattails of our grandparents. However, that doesn't mean that family is not important. As we study the Scriptures in both the Old and New Testament, we see the importance of the family and how instruction is given to the family, to fathers and to mothers, to husbands, to wives, to children. And we understand that the family is important, but we also ought to understand that the family has a unique and important role to play in the local church. Again, the church is made up of individuals, but as you take a look at the membership of every local church, it's made up of families as well. And I don't believe that that should be ignored. Now, we realize that not every member of the Knollwood Church of Christ comes here to worship with their physical family. There are some of you who are single. You've moved out of your parents' home. You've never been married. You're a member of this congregation. And we've studied in the past, and we've looked at the unique opportunities and the unique challenges that single Christians have to face. We realize that there are some who attend here who leave their loved ones at home, who despite their best efforts, their loved ones have yet to show any interest or have stopped showing interest in assembling with the saints and worshiping God. And that is unfortunate. And we acknowledge and we realize that there are some unique trials that go with that. There are passages, there are scriptures that are given, especially to wives, how they are to win their unbelieving husbands through their righteous and chaste conduct and behavior. We know that faithful husbands have that same challenge towards unbelieving wives. So we recognize this, that not everybody comes here, assembles here, worships here with their family. That doesn't mean that you're not an important part of this congregation. But I hope that you'll be patient as we go through and we look at this study that is looking at the family, that is focusing upon what a family can bring to a local congregation. There are five things I want us to consider as we go through and look at the family and the local church. Number one, the family has an opportunity to contribute to the work and the worship of the local church. In the book of Ephesians at chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul tells the church there that the Lord has given the local church everything that it needs to accomplish every work that God has given it. You start in verse 11, he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And that's really the theme of this section, that the local church has been constructed in a way by God that it can build itself up. It can do its work. It can fulfill its ministry. It can build itself up. But look at verse 16. It says, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effect of working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Every member of the local church has a role, has a part to play. Husbands and fathers do. Wives and mothers do. Children of all ages do. Grandparents, they all bring something unique to a local church. In some places where the churches are small, sometimes an entire generation is missing from the membership of a church. And it's felt. It's seen, it's felt. So every person of every age, every member of the family is important. What are some things that families can contribute to the work and the worship of the church? Well, let's start off with attendance. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25 teaches the importance of faithful attendance. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Just as it is important for every member to be here for every service, every family needs to be here for every service that they can attend. Regular and faithful attendance is an important contribution to the local church. You know, it's one thing when one member misses, we feel it. But when a family of four or five misses, we certainly feel that. And so have your family here. Be here for every service you can attend. The Bible class arrangement is another area in which the family can certainly contribute and the church as a whole can benefit. Have your children here for the Bible classes on Sunday morning and on Wednesday night. As adults, we need to be here ready for our classes, ready and willing to participate. Parents need to help their children get their lessons done, as well as get their own lesson done. The Bible classes are helped very much by families. Volunteering. Families can volunteer together. Again, individual Christians do, but families can do this together to prepare communion. It's something to see an entire family doing that. If you're here early enough on Sunday morning, see the kids bringing the things out while other things are continuing to be prepared back in the back. You might hold your breath a little bit while they're being carried by the youngsters, but there's a family working together on that. And that's something special to see. We talk about the visitation groups and how important the visitation groups are and how much good can be accomplished by that. Attend that as a family. Go back as a family and work on that as a family, calling on those who have missed services, having the preacher over during a gospel meeting. There are lots of things that a family can volunteer to do, get together as a family. And of course, families can encourage other members. They can speak words of encouragement as a family. Christy has been bombarded with cards the last couple of weeks, and that's been a very good thing, a very positive thing. One of the cards that I looked at was a card that was sent by from a household where there were some members of the household who were members of the church in Kettering and other members of the household who were members of the church here at Knollwood. And it was really special to see that every member of that family at least signed the card. Some of them even wrote a message in it, their own message in the card. That every member had their own handwriting in their signing that card. And that was special. That was special to see that amongst all the other cards that were being sent. That's something that you can do as a family. You can write down some of these names. You can get some cards and fill out those cards and send them to encourage. And of course, responding to visitors. We can teach our children to greet visitors, to go and to say hello to people that they don't know, to invite people to come with us to go somewhere after services if we would like. We need to be teaching our children to look for and to welcome visitors in their Bible classes as well. So The family has a role in the local church. A family has much to contribute to the work and the worship of the local church. Let's look also at the area of visitation. That was our scripture reading a few moments ago. James chapter 1, verse 27 tells us that pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. James 1, 27. The word visit there doesn't mean you just show up and say hello. The word visit there in the original Greek language means to look upon in order to help or to relieve. That's what we need to be doing as faithful Christians if we want our religion to be practical, if we want it to be useful to mankind. We need to be checking in on and helping those who need help. That's something that every Christian needs to be doing, and it's something that we need to be taking our children to do with us. Do we think about teaching our children and training our children to go and to sacrifice our time and our efforts to go and to help others? We certainly want our children to have pure and undefiled religion, don't we? We care enough to bring them to Bible classes or to have a VBS or something else along those lines. But right here, pure and undefiled religion is helping those who need help. Well, let's train our children to do that by taking them with us to go and to visit people, to visit those who are shut in. Now, we need to use wisdom with that. There's some situations that you wouldn't necessarily want to bring a young child into. But overall, there are opportunities. We can bring our entire families to help. Our children can learn what it's like to prepare a meal and then take it to somebody else, not eat any of it. I mean, how many times have you cooked and your children haven't eaten it anyways? They're used to that. But cook it, prepare it, and take it to somebody else. Or to go to their house, clean their house, or mow their lawn, or something along those lines. When they get older, they won't be unfamiliar with this. They'll have those habits that were formed in them as young children in a family that was serving the Lord by visiting others and helping others. In Matthew chapter 25, when Jesus has this scene of judgment, and we talked about it some in our class this morning in looking at the final judgment. In Matthew chapter 25, verses 34 through 40, then the king will say to those on his right hand, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?" And the king will answer and say to them, "Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me." Think about the impact if we took our families to go and do that, instead of just doing it on our own. If we were in the habit of doing that as a family, preparing a meal for people, going to help people, teaching our young children to show some compassion in going and taking a card that they've made to give to someone in the hospital. These are things that we can do as a family, and you better believe it makes a difference. It makes a difference. And how about hospitality? You know, it's one thing to cook a meal and take it over to someone else's house. It's another thing altogether to have them over to your house and to open up your home. We've learned that in our home. It's one thing to cook and take to someone else, but if we're having someone over, we've got to clean the house, and we've got to get out the dishes we don't hardly ever use, and everything's got to be... We put a whole lot more work into it, having someone over into our house. And sometimes we just soon avoid that. But you know, the Bible teaches us, yea, I would say commands us, to practice hospitality. Let me read some verses for you in Romans chapter 12 and verse 13. Romans chapter 12 and at verse 13, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. That means you're in the habit of practicing hospitality or relieving strangers, helping those who need help. Hebrews chapter 13 and at verse 2, the Hebrew writer told these Christians. He says, "Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing some have unwittingly entertained angels." And 1 Peter chapter 4 and at verse 9 says, "Be hospitable to one another without grumbling." Isn't that interesting how that verse is worded? Be hospitable to one another, but don't grumble about it. Why would you grumble about it? Well, because we've got to clean the house, and we've got to get out the dishes we don't use, and we've got to interrupt our home life. It's an interruption. That's a lot of work. Don't grumble about it. Don't complain about it. Do it because it's the right thing to do. I want to tell you, you can't have a Christian home. God give us Christian homes. We sing that song from time to time, don't we? You can't have a Christian home if you're not practicing hospitality, because it's something that God commands. Hospitality played a very important role in the church in the first century. In Acts chapter 2, when the church was first established, we see hospitality is being practiced by the members immediately. Acts chapter 2 and at verse 46, "So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart." They opened up their houses to one another. In chapter 4 and verse 32, we read, "Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common." Again, they were in this habit of sharing with one another. Hospitality is just as important today. Let me tell you some of the benefits of practicing hospitality. Number one, it helps us to grow closer together as brethren. Any time that we can spend together doing things outside of the times of assembly, and I don't mean instead of, but I mean in addition to, any time we can spend together with one another is only going to help us to grow closer together. It certainly helps new converts to form relationships, to find the strength and the support that they need to remain faithful, and it helps them to learn people's names if we spend time with them in our homes and outside of the assemblies. It helps to expose Christians to the home as the way it's supposed to be. I'll give you an example from my youth. I wasn't raised in a Christian home. And the time that I could spend in the homes of the members of the church after I became a Christian, I saw the difference. I saw some of the differences. And so when it was time for me to get married and Christy and I to have our home, I'd seen from examples of how it's supposed to be. And so when we open up our homes to those who weren't raised in the Lord's church, they get to come in and they get to see a different pattern for the home. They get to see God's pattern lived out before them. And it helps us to help one another. It allows members sometimes to get away from their troubles and the stresses of their life for maybe a few hours. Children need to learn to do good and to share. Hebrews 13 verse 16 says to learn to do good and to share. And children need to learn this by watching mom and dad practice hospitality without grumbling. And we realize that not every member can open up their home. We made that clear in the very beginning. Not everyone here has a spouse who is cooperative with the work of the local church. And so we realize and understand that not everyone is in a position to open up their home and invite people into their home to show hospitality. I'll say this, number one, the Lord certainly understands that. The Lord most certainly understands that situation. Number two, I would say that means it's all the more important for those of us who can do it to do it, because not everyone can. And might I say, number three, you don't have to be married and have children to practice hospitality. Those of you who are single can do the same thing. You can open up your home. You can extend help to others. It's not something, practicing hospitality isn't something that you have to wait until you're married to do. I'll give you another illustration of something that happened when I was first a Christian. I hadn't been a Christian but a couple of years. And I started thinking about this idea of being a gospel preacher. I had some people tell me I ought to think about that, and I started thinking about that along the lines that might be something that I'd like to do. And I at least had enough common sense back then to know I need to talk to people who were doing that, to ask them, what that's like. What's it like to be a preacher? So we were having a gospel meeting at the downtown church in Rogers, Arkansas, back in the early 90s, having a preacher in that I knew who he was. And when it came time to put the meal list up, the meal list went up, and I went and I wrote my name in one of the spots. Made all the ladies behind me mad because they love to fill up that list. They love to have the preacher in their home and have dinner and all that. And I beat someone to the punch. But I took him out to eat. And while he ate, I asked questions about preaching. And he answered those questions. And I remember that. And I wasn't married, far from it. But I showed some hospitality. And we can all do things like that. We can all practice that hospitality. But I tell you, those who are families are especially in a good position to be able to extend hospitality to others. Let's look at the realm of evangelism as well. We talk about personal evangelism, and again, that's something that we all do as individuals, but, you know, family units often have unique opportunities in the area of evangelism that single people don't have, and vice versa. But let's look at some opportunities that families have. We know families, as individual Christians, are to let their light shine. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16. The way we conduct ourselves as families, not only in our home and in our neighborhood, but out in the community, it's something that needs to be seen. It's something that others need to see. They need to see something different in us. It's not uncommon for families of young friends to do things together. I mean, eventually kids are going to start having birthday parties and you start seeing the same people at all these different birthday parties because all the kids get invited to them and all the parents show up to them. And so you meet other people. You meet your children. You meet their friends' parents. So you meet these people and you begin to establish relationships with these people. Invite them to come to services. Start talking with them about religious things or spiritual things. Those opportunities come to young families. Encourage your children to invite their friends to come to Bible class. Encourage your children to invite their friends to come to the vacation Bible school. Have you done that? Encourage them to invite, because a lot of times it's the young people, it's the children, it's the teenagers who are getting the visitors to come. So encourage your children to invite their friends to Bible class, to VBS, to gospel meetings. Sometimes we talk about how these extracurricular activities take a lot of time out of the family schedule. And we got families going this way and that way and everywhere to ball practice and this kind of practice and those kind of lessons and this kind of a meeting. And pretty soon we don't have any time left. And that certainly can be a negative, but there's a positive way to look at that. All these different things that you take your family to go do, you're exposed to different people. Those are opportunities to get to know those people, to talk with those people, to build relationships with those people, and then say, hey, come and worship with us. And we're going to talk about, we got a new class starting up on world religions on Wednesday night. You might be interested in that. Use that as an opportunity to invite people to come. And again, you have those opportunities because you're a family. And those are opportunities that single brethren don't always have. And so take advantage of those opportunities. The family can certainly play an important role in evangelism in the local church. Then finally, I want us to consider elders and deacons. We know that the Lord has ordained or set forth the fact that every local church needs to have qualified men serving as elders and deacons. Well, these men cannot qualify themselves. Both elders and deacons have family qualifications. Titus chapter 1 and verse 6 says, if a man is blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of dissipation or insubordination. 1 Timothy chapter 3 verses 4 and 5 says, one who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will you take care of the church of God? Deacons are told in 1 Timothy 3, verses 11 and 12, likewise their wives must be reverent, not slanderous, temperate, faithful in all things. Let deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own houses well. Elders must also be hospitable. We see that in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2, and Titus chapter 1 and verse 8. And of course, his wife and his children are going to help tremendously with this particular qualification of being hospitable. But where do elders and where do deacons come from? They come from our families. They come from our families. So even a very young family needs to have this as a goal. Needs to be working towards being qualified to serve as a deacon and then being qualified to serve as an elder. That is most definitely something that a family can do to contribute to the work of the local church. A family is never going to play an important role in the local church until the local church is important to that family. I believe that we see that. A family takes the church seriously, and then plays an important role in that church. I preached this lesson this afternoon so that all of us can think seriously about the responsibility that our family has towards the Lord and towards the local church here. Is there something that we could be doing better than we have been doing? Are there improvements that we can make in the way that our family contributes to the work and the worship of the local church? And again, I'll expand that and I'll apply it to every member, whether married or not. Is there something we can be doing better in our service to the Lord in the local church? Thank you very much for your kind attention this afternoon. I hope that we've looked at some things that have been a reminder to most and perhaps have been something new for you to think about as well. We're going to extend the invitation at this time. It's an opportunity for you to make things right in a public way. Maybe as an erring Christian, you need to be restored. Maybe as a troubled Christian, you need our prayers. Maybe as someone who needs to become a Christian, you need that opportunity to confess your faith and to be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. If we can help you with these matters, please come as we stand and sing this song.